independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I'm establishing new vetting measures to keep radical Islamic terrorists out of the United States. We don't want them here. I'm keeping another promise by nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. Wiretap.
Wiretap.
Wiretap communication.
The president withdraw the accusation. Does he have any...
Why would he withdraw it until it's, I mean, until it's adjudicated? That's what we're asking.
The American Health Care Act, it keeps our promise to repeal and replace Obamacare.
Wow, that was just a little skosh of what's taken place over these first 100 days. Joining me now, Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Jim, first 100 days, pretty much in the book. I gave him a B. How you feeling?
I would give him a B or a B minus myself. That sounds like a fairly accurate grade for what's been accomplished. I mean, I think if, according to the Democrats, we should all be dead. We should have all been died in a massive nuclear war by now. So I think the fact that we're still here maybe even bumps it up to a B plus.
Well, look at that. So first, I'm honest with this. If you look back, he has, let's talk about some of his missteps, you know, between I was wiretaped and to it's the biggest crowd in the history of the world to some of the things that he has done. And he's come out and he's, you know, done on both Twitter and through the likes of Sean Spicer. He's done a few things to himself that has not ingratiated him to not just the left wing media, but any of the media.
Yeah. I mean, not since George W. Bush has there been a gift to late night comedians like Donald Trump. Absolutely. But the man, you know, the man's not a politician. He's not spent his whole life trying to ingratiate people to vote for him. He's real. He's a little unpolished, but he's Trump. He's not left. He's not right. He's Trumpian. So I think the guy's done a pretty good job of getting acclimated to the job. And remember, when we started this 100 days ago, was can Trump be president? Can he even be presidential? Well, Chad, I don't hear any more of that talk after 100 days.
No.
Certainly after the State of the Union. Even Van Jones gave him credit for being presidential at the State of the Union.
Or whatever that thing was.
The
Trump of the Union. Jim Kennedy's here with the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. He joins us every Friday. The Kipper, that's what we're calling it now. Jim, you know, I have said that he needs to grow into the job and that so many people want him to fail out there in the mainstream media. The right media can only hoist it up for so long because their reach isn't what the mainstream media reach is. But I read a great article this week where, you know, a lot of people are putting their eggs in this basket that he's going to fail, and they're doing all they can to push that agenda. I don't think he's going to fail. I think he's going to succeed, and this is going to be egg on their face.
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, you've got the left media out there that is going to go beyond journalistic credibility to make sure that he fails. They have given up their jobs as journalists to report the news, and now they want to editorialize on the news and add their own personal slant of how the news should even be, regardless of what he actually does. So, yes, I mean, no president has faced this kind of onslaught. And even on the right, though, remember, Chad, you still had the people that were out there that were the never-Trumpers. And there are some of them in the right-wing media, too, that aren't necessarily bought in. I think that they're seeing the attacks on Trump, and I think the never-Trumpers are even kind of grouping together a little bit more now to maybe support Trump because it's like, well, it's a left versus right, and I may not like Trump, but I'm on the right side, and he's on the same side as I am, I think, so I better support him because he's certainly not going to get it from the left.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Jim, as we switch from all of this, you know, him doing certain things that floundered on his own and the media, let's talk about some of the stuff he's tried to implement. He has tried to do several things, and I think there's going to be court challenges and a lot of the stuff that he and the Republicans are going to try to do. And unfortunately, I think this is the way that politics is going to go for the foreseeable future.
Well, yeah, he's kind of adopting the Barack Obama model of ruling by executive order because he's had problems getting stuff through Republican Congress. And he's had some issues. Well, first of all, he's reversing many of the things that Barack Obama did. And even this week, his order that was shot down about the sanctuary city funding issue, he was simply quoting law that's already out there that has been passed and is in effect. And this judge jumps on and says, no, because you may have pre-anxietal problems or something with it, that we can't let this happen. I mean, all they're doing is the left's going out there and judge shopping and finding some left-wing judge that'll say no to this executive order. And then you just got a mess because you'll have a bunch of other judges that'll say yes, and then you've got a mismatch of, or you'll have a mishmash. You'll have to wait till it gets to the Supreme Court to get it all sorted out.
Yeah, it is crazy. And yes, you know what? They are judge shopping, and they know that, you know, and he so eloquently put in his crazy Twitterness that, you know, the most of the stuff that they end up doing ends up getting overturned. I think it's some 80% of that at some point in time gets up and flip-flopped over. Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Let's flash forward to the next 100 days. We look out over the next 100 days and really through the end of the year. What big legislation, what executive orders do you think he's going to get done that's actually going to be upheld and put into place where we could start to see it actually working?
Well, real legislation needs to be done. You can only rule so much by executive order. And even Trump knows that with his constitutional limits, what his constitutional limits are with executive orders. A tax bill has been talked about, and that would be a great thing to put together. Something that's a little bit more revenue or that's more debt neutral. That's going to be kind of a balanced amount that's not going to blow up the debt, because we do have a debt and deficit problem as it is, two separate things, but they are both a problem right now. And if they can revisit the health care bill, that would certainly be something that would certainly interest his core supporters. You know, the recent poll they did with his core supporters show like a 96 or 98%, you know, are you happy with voting for Trump? A 96 to 98%. Say, yeah, they're happy. So his core people are not abandoning him. The left still hates him, but they hated him from the day that he was elected. So that hasn't changed. So passing some sort of meaningful legislation would be a good step for them going forward in the next 100 days.
Do you think that repeal and replace is going to be the thing that he is going to, and the Republicans, again, it's about the Republicans doing this legislation. He can do all he can. He can't rule, you know, just by, I'm not the king. Right. I can only do so much. And he's even done more than Bush and Barack has done at this point. But do you think that they'll be able to push through, say, repeal and replace or taxes first?
I think tax will be the easier of the two, because you can get most Republicans on board with the taxes. And especially we talk about repatriating the money that's being held offshore for a majority of those tech companies. We're talking, I think, $1.5 trillion that's out there that can be brought back in at, you know, 10%, 15%, 20%, whatever they're gonna settle on. But I think that's an easier bill to get through, and you could use that as a basis for some of the healthcare issues that are be going forward as far as the taxes that'll be involved with healthcare. You can start working on some of those in a regular tax bill.
Jim Kennedy's with us. He's going to stick through here as we talk about the next 100 days, and we flash forward to some of the other stuff that's going on in the world of politics. Jim, you're like me. You drive all over the place. I know that. I think you're getting ready to take off next week. You're going up to Northern California.
Yes, I am. Up to the Modesto area. Exactly.
Up to Northern California. Well, let me tell you something, guys, out there. If you drive a lot and you're like me and you don't want a car payment, or even if you do have one and it's starting to get towards the end and you're looking at your warranty, you're thinking, sweet mother of goodness, what's going to happen to my car? I don't want a car payment. Do what I do. Be smart. Extended coverage like I did from CarShield. That's what I got. And let me tell you, new engine, I've been there, done that. The expense is ridiculous. Transmission, yeah, we know, and a sensor. I don't know what a sensor costs, probably a grand or two just to get in there, and they have to hook everything up, and you got a guy that looks like a doctor. It's not cheap anymore. CarShield can take away the worry. CarShield can give you that kind of feeling that, hey, I'm taken care of. Let me tell you what you get, 24/7 roadside assistance. Boom! You also get a car while your car's in the shop. But here's where the good stuff comes in. So you got your rental car, your car's in the shop, Chad. What shop is that? Shop you choose. CarShield tells you, you go find the place that you want to take it. We'll pay for it. You don't have to wait by the mail. We got it covered. If your car's 3 to 12 years old and you're worried about paying high repair bills, don't. CarShield's administrators paid out about $2 billion in claims. They are ready to help you. Save yourself thousands of potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle service protection before it's too late. Call 800-856-1441, mention code Benson, or visit carshield.com. Use code Benson, save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Benson. A deductible may apply to some plans. Jim Kennedy and I talking about Trump, talking about the first 100 days. We're going to talk about some other political stuff that's going on in and around the planet Earth. It's the Chad Benson Show.
giving the First Amendment a run for its money. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Jim Kennedy joins me talking about the first 100 days. Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. And we look back at the first 100 days. We graded it. You gave it a B. I gave it a B. I think he's doing okay. We flash forward now. The next 100 days is some stuff that he may get through. But take away the stuff that he may get through here when it comes to tax reform and things like that. We have another issue that's staring right ass in our face, and it's not very tall. It's a little pudgy, and it's kind of angry, and it fired a ballistic missile. We're talking about Kim Jong-un in North Korea.
Yes, it's a problem that we've been looking at, though, for the better part of 35 years. Goes back to H.W. Bush, to Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. And it's a problem that's going to continue to be out there. It seems a little bit scarier this time than it has in the past. But, you know, the end game is really, what's he going to do? I mean, is he truly nutty enough, and will his generals let him do something that will basically mean the end of any reign of theirs in North Korea?
You know, and as I'm explaining today, you know, he fires this thing off towards the Sea of Japan, and it lands in the, you know, the ocean. I don't fear him doing anything, because I think a lot of what people we're everybody's psychoanalyzing it, but nobody really knows the truth about this guy. So I don't worry about it. He's as crazy as a lot of people think he is. I mean, does he have a misunderstanding of the world and because of the way he was raised? Absolutely. Any human being would. But I will tell you this. My fear is their stuff doesn't work very good. And at some point in time, they fire it off and it lands somewhere it's not supposed to, because it's antiquated, it's cheap, and it just doesn't work very good.
Yeah, they're the gang I'm pretty sure they can't shoot straight. So he may fire at Japan, and it may hang a right and wind up in southern Korea. So that could be a very, very large problem. So let's hope something like that doesn't happen with him when he goes crazy and decides to try to launch something. But, I mean, it's, you know, he is there in power by the grace of the generals, because they run the military. And yeah, at some point, they think if they can take him down without getting their entire families killed, there may be some day where they decide that this guy is just too far out there and we've got to replace him with somebody else, because this guy just isn't going to be what's in the best interest of the North Korean people.
You know, that, you know, again, like you said, he's there by the grace of the generals. But there is that, you know, where's the Valkyrie moment? Where's the, you know, a Project Anthropoid, for those of you who don't know what it is. Read a book. Where is that point when some general, because the fear factor is the totalitarian state that they live in, the fact that he has everybody snitching on everybody and listening, it's like, who is that general?
Well, I think it's the point where really he decides that he's going to fire off all the howitzers at Seoul, or he really is going to try to launch a nuclear weapon, and they just realize that, just, you know, we've bluffed this for years, but we can't really do this, because retaliation means we'll be dead in 18 or 19 minutes. So it's just simply, you're not going to win a first strike. You're just simply going to be dead in about 18 minutes.
Yeah. The second strike, look, he can get something off. Even if we attack him, there's a good chance they're going to get some stuff off. There's going to be none of them. And you think to yourself, is that the moment that they snap in? And I love what he's doing with China. I think China is stepping up, you know, and I explained this the other day, and I don't think people realize this. They've mobilized their army, and so has Russia. People don't realize there's like a 14-mile stretch where North Korea and Russia share a border. So they have also mobilized. They're worried about the people coming into their country, running for their lives, because this guy, they don't know what to expect with him.
Right. That's a real threat to China, is the refugee crisis that would envelop in southern China if they all flee across the border with some sort of crazy war breaking out. Because these people do not have anything to eat. I mean, they would have fled by now if there probably weren't North Korean soldiers standing on the border keeping them in, or it's probably mined and, you know, and it makes it look like the Berlin Wall trying to get out. But, you know, we have a problem trying to keep people out of our country. They have a problem trying to keep people in their country.
Yeah.
Talks about the difference in your governments.
Speaking of that, we got here about a minute and a half or so. What? Venezuela is a nightmare. And it is getting to the point where it is becoming a humanitarian crisis. Inflation is at 800%, soon to be 1,600%, and Maduro has run it into the ground. And a nation, by the way, I just want to tell everybody this. If you think the Saudis and everybody else have oil, Venezuela has the most oil in the world, and they're broke.
Yeah, well, yeah, broke is kind of a relative statement, but yes, they are. They are insolvent at this point. It's interesting because I pass these articles along to all my liberal friends, and with, you know, with the credulosity of how could there be trouble in the workers' paradise of Venezuela? I thought this was supposed to be the socialist wunderkind. I mean, isn't this one of Bernie Sanders' favorite countries to go visit? So what the heck has happened to them? I mean, this is what happens when you run a country as a socialist country, even though you're sitting on as much oil as you could possibly pump out of the ground and sell on a daily basis. I mean, how much worse can you do as a socialist government than what's been done in Venezuela?
It is, you know, it's funny because they always tell everybody that they're there to take care of the poor and they're there to take care of the middle class, yet they suffer the most under these crazy regimes and these crazy ideology. And I don't, and yet people still want to run at it.
Absolutely. And it's just, you know, and let's not to say that they won't, you know, I doubt they're going to have a pure capitalist government that's going to come in after this. There's probably going to be another guy who's a left winger is going to probably come in at some point to try to clean this mess up, who thinks that, you know, I'm going to be, you know, he's going to be some sort of a populist who'll come in and he'll be their version of Donald Trump maybe, but obviously with a lot more resources, but with a lot more authoritarian government than what Trump's running.
And the crazy thing is, Jim, is if there was a person who believed in capitalism who rolled in there and ended up becoming the leader of Venezuela, you watch within 6 months how that country would turn itself around from a country that is literally living on fumes and struggling to a country that is full of economic resources that are just incredible. His name's Jim Kennedy. You can follow him at Righty Jim, The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. Comedian Jimmy Failor is going to join us next. He is the one of the head writers over there with Kennedy at Fox Business. He's going to join us to talk about the first 100 days. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
100 days of broken promises to working people. 100 days of handouts to the wealthiest people in our country.
Oh, God, her voice is, it's like Adele, right? Like angels right there. Where angels fear to tread. How you doing, everybody? Happy Friday. This is the Chad Benson Show. Joining us now is somebody who's really funny. A man, a myth, a legend. Jimmy Failor, the comic, and of course, the writer for Old Kenny there at Fox Business. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Good to be back in action. We had a little kerfuffle on the show this week, by the way.
Wait, what? There was a kerfuffle?
Yeah, a kerfuffle. I don't mean to start off with such big language, but yes, we told a joke on the show this week about Scott Baio during the tropical storm. And a throwaway, innocuous joke, you know, no ill will intended. But he and the K-Train got into a little Twitter dust-up afterwards, and it wound up making the rounds in Mediaite and BizPack Review and stuff like that. So I'm currently in the joke-writing bunker right now, Chad, getting ready
to
take on some fire.
Are you next to Jesse Waters?
No, yo, nowhere near. I was just interviewing a food taster who's going to be actually eating all of his meals for the foreseeable few days. But yeah, everything's going good, man.
That's great. Scott Baio, of course, said some stuff that I thought was real, and it set off a firestorm about Aaron Moran passing. Of course, that was Joni, and apparently Chachi did not love Joni as much as Joni loved Chachi.
There it is. That's a perfect summation, by the way. That's why people come to the Chad Benson Show.
That's totally why. That and the fact that their radio's stuck in the same position. All right, my man. 100 days in almost. What's your feel on this, the Trumpster? I mean, it's been interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, listen, think of it this way. If you like him, if you hate him, the thing I keep contrasting it with is, could you imagine how bored we'd all be if we were watching 100 days of Hillary right now? I mean, and that's the way, that's kind of the way I look at it. I've taken it beyond policy. I'm just enjoying the show. Like, people are going to be buying Trump press conferences in 20 years like they were Dean Martin roasts. They're going to be selling them. They're going to be like Time Magazine, you know, shows, because they're fun. They're great entertainment. But in terms of progress, I got to be honest with you. For me, Neil Gorsuch was such a big addition to the Supreme Court that I'm one of those guys that's just thankful just for that, just that we took that big step forward on the court, I think is a really big deal. You know, the sky didn't fall. I believe we were told the world would have ended like 3 weeks ago, you know, from the left. And the one thing my biggest takeaway, though, Chad, really, is that it doesn't seem like anyone on the left or anybody in the media actually learned anything from the election. It looks like everybody's just carrying on as if we're still in that cycle. There's a lot of identity politics. They're on blast nonstop trying to stop this guy. Trump is like, if you ever played that video game Rampage in the 80s, he's that guy climbing the side of the building that they can't take out. I mean, he's doing it. I mean, I don't know what it is, but he's doing it.
Jimmy Failis joining us here, comic and, of course, writer extraordinaire on Kennedy on Fox Business. You talk about, like, the Trump press conferences, but realistically, man, let's be real, and I'm sure Kennedy has a laugh at this. Sean Spicy Spicer, he's the must-watch TV of all of this stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. The Spice Man, he right now at this point, Trump had made a comment last week where he said, you know, I'd never fire Sean because he's good for ratings. You know, and people are like, oh, that's such a terrible metric to keep a White House press secretary based on. But it's actually not, because if you're trying to get your message out there, the guy with the highest ratings is probably the guy you want doing it. People are tuning in. He's putting on a good show. Yeah, a Spicer press conference. It's really funny because a normal White House press briefing it's like a Harvard debate club, and a Spicer press conference is like bum fights. It's great. It's, you know, world star hip hop. People are bludgeoning each other in the streets of a Waffle House, and it's great entertainment.
You know what I love about Spicer? Spicer, to me, I described this the other day. He is, you got a successful morning zoo radio show, and Sean Spicer's that hanger-on that you sent out into the streets to dress like a giant panda bear and fight the San Diego chicken.
He'd do it. He has the rabbit costume. People forget that he was the rabbit when George Bush was the president. At the White House Easter egg roll, he was the rabbit. So imagine, is there, you know, mocking him on Saturday Night Live, or he's beating down reporters in the press room. That was the Easter Bunny to a whole generation of kids. That was their Easter Bunny.
That's a pretty funny thought.
But yeah, in terms of my overall assessment of how it's going, I want to ask you this, because I'm in New York, and obviously, you know, New York is like 99.4% liberal, which in the city itself, which is funny to me because they're always protesting. I'm like, what are you protesting for? The other 0.06% of a vote that Hillary didn't get in Manhattan, you know? But the sentiment up here is, you know, the world's going to end any minute now. You know, he's asleep at the wheel. We don't know what's going on. Who really is the president? Is that the prevailing feeling on the streets where you are? I wanted to ask you that, because New York's very
wonderful. You know, I'm in California, and we've got the same kind of sentiment out here, Jimmy, you know, we're trying to break away from this country because we think the country has lost its mind and we know better. But the funny thing is, I talk to a lot of people who don't feel that way. It's almost like the loud voices had the microphones, but the rest of everybody else is like, we'll give them a chance and see what happens. I think there's a lot of that. I mean, you go to Silicon Valley, you go to San Francisco, to LA. Yeah, it's there. You feel that. But I think for a lot of other people, they don't feel that way. But again, like everything, like here with Berkeley and the whole free speech thing, those are the only ones that seem to get the microphone to talk about stuff like that.
Yeah, it's true. Well, the other people aren't standing in line because they're working. Or they're doing other things, you know, they're doing other things. But yeah, that's I think the problem that the left kind of got roped into is they're catering to a fringe of society that nobody really, in the overall scheme of things, nobody cares. And I guess what I'm trying to say is right now, basically, we've gone through one cycle of social media in our lives now. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've gone through like a 5-year period since social media really took off, and we've kind of gotten a feel for who these people are launching protests on social media and whining about every joke a comic might tell or every soundbite that sounds horrible out of context. And we've realized that we gave that mob a little bit too much power. And I think the majority of Americans are just tired, you know, of even acknowledging them or appeasing them, or because we realize who these people are. They're just annoying people. You're never going to be at a party and go, wow, I can't wait till the guy who gets offended at everything shows up. That's when it's going to get good. The point is they're just selling agitation. There's no actual plan for governance out of the left right now. It's just screaming that something is racist or sexist and, you know, taking people who are easily manipulated and getting them emotionally fired up. And they all think they're making a difference because they've changed their profile picture on Facebook or they marched around with a vagina hat on their head. Good God. If only they knew. You know, I've done so many things that don't age well. You know, I'm always scared of getting a tattoo because I don't know what I'll think of it in 5 years. I'd imagine a vagina hat is something you come to be embarrassed about.
Yeah, I would think that too, especially prospective employers looking, going, hey, I love the vagina hat. That's a solid move. Talking to Jimmy Fallon, he's a great comic and, of course, a writer for Kennedy, Fox on Business. And, you know, because that's what you look at now, right? You're going to go hire somebody, go right to their social media, and the last thing you need to see is somebody sitting there with a vagina hat. And you're like, yeah, I don't know if I don't know if you're the right fit here at the bank.
Oh, but it looks very good on you, Chad.
It does look delicious. Speaking of free speech, man, because, you know, you're a comic, I'm a comic, we do stuff, we go out, we say stuff that, you know, you could take stuff out of context, which most people do, and they flip out. This whole thing here at Berkeley, this is insane, right? I mean, tell me this is insanity, and there's another dimension that I just happen to be missing.
I wish I could, man. You know, as you sit there and you watch this, and you watch this whole thing play out, you know, on TV every night, who are the people in good conscience that think it benefits them to silence their opposition? Because the truth is, once that becomes the accepted norm, it's only, you know, it's just an inevitability that you yourself become silenced at some point. And so at Berkeley, I want to believe that those are paid agitators. They are foreign agents that come in. But there's such a history of that there that I don't know that that's the truth. The fact that they're getting as much federal money as they are and they're getting away with this, like, what I want to know is, like, who do they have naked pictures of in Washington, D.C. that they're getting $350 or $500, you know, million federal dollars and they're allowed to do whatever the hell they want? That's my question.
See, I thought it was a great move, and I know Ann was upset. She says, nobody's backing me. I thought it was a great move to step back and say, you know what? The only way we're going to get your attention is take your ass to court, Berkeley, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, because they should put them on record for all the things they've done. Because it's, you know, we don't have a big attention span now as a society.
No.
Because there's always some type of new impending doom coming our way every 2 days, and we just move on from the last shiny object. Like, the news cycle really has become Baby Einstein. We're just sitting here, and every few minutes there's something new spinning on the screen for us to look at, and we move on regardless of, you know, the implications of the story we were just watching. And I think where they're right to go to court is that they're going to prolong this discussion. It's not going to begin and end with a soundbite of her speech and a clip of a burning building or a kid breaking a window with a chair. There might actually be a conversation. You know, they always say that whenever something happens, they're like, oh, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a conversation about race. We're going to have a conversation about women's rights. Nobody ever has a conversation. Somebody gets fired. A few million people, you know, a few million slacktivists go online and applaud themselves for being such, you know, self-righteous, perfect people. And then we move on without ever having a conversation. So what Berkeley might have done in the process of silencing Ann Coulter and blowing up their university over Milo is they might actually have been the ones that facilitated the conversation, because we're going to talk about this. And it, inversely, this might have hurt them. And I hope it does, because it's just disgusting to watch it go on. I mean, it's embarrassing. And it's embarrassing that there's a generation of kids being raised to believe that this is, you know, the normal way of doing things.
Last question here, brother. I saw you hanging out with Rob O'Neill, the man who sent Osama bin Laden to the bottom of the ocean. Cool cat, right?
Oh, let me tell you, man, he does have, pound for pound, he has the best drinking story ever. It's like, how do you top that? You're like, yeah, we won state champion. Yeah, I shot bin Laden. I'm like, all right, round of drinks for you. Yeah, he's the coolest guy. I mean, you talk about a guy, a historic figure. That's a guy in history books. Like, that's a guy you talk about. It's a guy movies are made about. It was a heavy guy to meet.
But you know what? That's what I said. I said, dude, no, we talk about Buffalo Bill and Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp, and we talk about Patton and all. You're there. You're going to be in history books. And the thing that's amazing is you're a big dude. You lift weight. You're a tall guy. You look like you dwarfed him.
You know what, man? I would say that no. He must go 6'2".
You look like he could crush his soul, brother.
Let's be fair. I look like I could beat him in the Coney Island hot dog contest on the 4th of July. I'm in my third trimester right now. So yeah, I definitely have him in the weight department. But no, he's a badass. You know, he's a SEAL.
Yeah. Yeah, he is the absolute badass. Jimmy Fallon is his name. He is a writer on Kennedy, Fox on Business. Where are you performing next, man? Where you at?
Wow. I'm at Gotham Comedy Club all weekend here in New York. And this Monday on Kennedy, it's so worth you checking out. We're doing a segment called Third Grade News, where she's going to be doing the show with third graders instead of regular panelists. And it's pretty interesting, I will say the least. And there was no intellectual drop-off between having adults and third graders.
All right, brother. I appreciate that. You have a good weekend and go rock it. By the way, I saw your Amazon comedy special. Loved it, man.
Oh, you're the best, man. No, it's already, you doubled my ratings, Chad. Are you kidding me?
I watched it twice.
Oh, come on. I get a 10-cent royalty every time that happens. It means
I'll go home and watch it again tonight. I'll put it on repeat.
Whoa, take off the apron, honey. We're going out tonight. 30 cents. Thank you, Chad. I owe you big. You're the man.
All right, brother. You have a good one. We'll talk to you soon. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Jimmy Fallon there. Funny man. Wrap it up straight ahead.
Irreverent? Yeah. So what? It's the Chad Benson Show.
That's me, kids and kittens, on this beautiful Friday, the 99th day of the ruling of the Trumpster. We're still alive. I plan to be alive through the weekend and many, many more weekends because I do not believe that the Trump is going to take us down the rabbit hole of doom as many do. Love having Jimmy on the show. Just a good guy. If you have a chance to ever check out his Amazon, look up Jimmy Fallon. He is really a funny character. And you know, it's... Again, you don't see too many people who are on the right that will talk about some of the stuff that he talks about when it comes to comedy because it just doesn't, you know, they're afraid. They are. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I'm going to post this. There is a woman, Morgan Joyce Varn. She was arrested, which is raising eyebrows, literally and figuratively, in Lancaster County Sheriff's Department has posted in South Carolina, posted said mugshot. She has tattooed her eyes jet black. Solid. By the way, you are never going to regret that, Morgan. There is no way you will ever regret that. She's covered in tattoos, which is great. The whites of the eyes are black, and they're reflective like glass. And it is definitely interesting. She's been charged with kidnapping, and she is she looks like somebody who would come to you after trying to, how should we say this? Raise a demon. She's that person that comes to you and raises the demon. If you've seen The Suicide Squad, a little bit of that right there. Little bit of that. one person said, somebody call a priest. Yeah, I don't think so. Kidnapping, armed robbery, and weapons charges. I think that there is a... I think she's gone down the wrong path, is what I'm trying to tell you guys. Down the wrong path. The path you don't want to go down. We have gone down this path for a little over 3+ months with Trump. We're all still alive. Over the weekend, things will happen. Life will go on. And guess what? We'll still be alive come Monday. And then guess what? We'll talk about it. Yeah, it's crazy. It is crazy. Even with crazy people like Morgan out there with their black eyes, we're all fine. The beauty of our country, kids, is we have survived a lot of things, and the Trump is not going to bring us down. All right? And I do believe the Trumpster is going to do the opposite of that. I think we're already great. I think he just might make us a little bit greater. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Speaking of wrong, I was wrong to miss my aunt's birthday. I was wrong to miss my mom's birthday when I was little. I still hear about that all the time. It will not happen again. I have made that promise because I went to proflowers.com and I got their pro gifter service. What is it? Well, it's a fail-proof way to never forget anything. This service allows you 3 bouquet deliveries to 3 addresses up to a year in advance. So if you forget, you won't really forget, if you know what I mean. You get three bouquets with vases, free shipping, all for $99. You save $70. And like I said, you look amazing, which is the most important thing because we know you're going to forget. So while you're thinking about that right now, let's not. All right. 7-day freshness guarantee from Pro Flowers or your money back. 7-point quality check before being shipped. So you know they're going to look amazing. I know you're thinking of an occasion. Don't think too much longer. Get over to proflowers.com. Check out the Pro Gifter banner right on the homepage. Pick your flowers, set the delivery dates. Boom. You will be done. That is proflowers.com. I want to wish my man, the button pusher extraordinaire, the executive producer, on-air magical maestro, a very happy birthday. Mr. Phil turns 48 years young. And I tell you what, Phil, you don't look a day over 43.
Great, thanks.
I don't think he's thrilled by that. He's going to go home and get drunk. I just know it. Wallow in his sorrow. Just kidding. Happy birthday, Phil. For Anthony, for Phil, my name's Chad Benson. As always, have a safe weekend. Bid you adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.